This episode of the Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. PCGS will be accepting coins for grading at the ANA World's Fair of Money. Visit www.pcgs.com to learn more. In this episode of the Coin Week podcast, we talk to Heritage Auctions President Greg Rohan about the recent passing of his friend Gene Gardner and about the overall health of the rare coin market. I'm talking to Greg Rohan. He's the president of Heritage Auctions. I wanted to reach out to him to discuss the passing of his friend Gene Gardner. Gene was a longtime collector who passed away earlier this month after a long illness. Heritage Auctions was chosen by Gene to sell his impressive coin collection. Hi, Greg. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. Thanks for calling.
How did you meet Gene?
I met Gene about 20 years ago. It was at one of the auctions that Heritage was holding, and a dealer from New York City came in with Gene and introduced him to me. I wasn't aware of him before as a collector, although when I heard later that he had already assembled one fabulous collection in the 1960s and sold it in 1965, I was pretty impressed that he was back collecting again a few decades later.
I think it goes without saying that he put together a world-class collection as it stands, but his Seated Liberty coinage, in my mind, really stands out as remarkable.
I think that it would be impossible to duplicate his Seated Liberty coins, regardless of budget today. Once Gene's collection was dispersed amongst hundreds of collectors, it would just be impossible to put together a collection of that quality and that completeness now.
So what was the level of interest amongst collectors for his collection when it came across the block?
Oh, it was huge. It was the sale was scheduled for four different auctions over 16 months. And the reason for the four auctions was that there was such a high concentration of series that he collected that would appeal to collectors, that if you put it all in one auction, everybody would have spent their whole budget right away. And that would not have been good for the collectors and not have been good for the gardeners either. So when the other thing that was so nice with the Gardner sale is that Gene was so beloved. When I met him, the dealer that brought him to our auction leaned over and whispered in my ear, he said, "Gene Gardner is the finest gentleman in numismatics. He's royalty." And he was right. I didn't know that at the time, but I've never dealt with anybody with a stronger moral character and compass and sense of fairness than Gene. And all the collectors knew that. He was absolutely beloved. If you sell a collection as an auction company for a collector who had sharp elbows and wasn't nice to people and, you know, acted in a jerky way while he was collecting, you know, you've got to put lipstick on a pig a little bit. You've got to do your best job for the consignor. But if the consignor was not well liked at all, it's a little bit more of an uphill battle. The opposite was the case with Gene. He was so loved that everyone wanted to participate in his auction.
It seems that many of the major collectors in his specialty fields must have been well aware of the quality of the material that he had, and for them, this was a buying opportunity that most people weren't going to pass up.
It really was. Gene got a lot more aggressive later in life in completing his sets and in continuing to upgrade his sets. And so a lot of the coins that he had were coins that he had outbid other collectors for, and those collectors were still collecting. And so here they thought that 2, 3, 4, 5 years earlier, they'd gotten beaten out on a coin that they really wanted for their collection. Now here was their opportunity to get it again.
What would you say Gene's guiding principle as a collector was?
Yeah, Gene was putting together copper, nickel, and silver coin sets, all sets, from 1793 to 1930. And he was doing it in business strikes and in proof strikes and in the finest quality that he could find. One of every date and mint in business strike and in proof.
Did you have any particular favorite pieces from his collection?
Yeah, I had a lot of favorite pieces. I mean, his 1796 Drape Bust Dime that was MS66, that realized $881,000. It was the most beautiful coin. It had blues and pinks and golds in it. That was a spectacular coin. There was really so many. It's hard to say. You know, it's like asking, what's your favorite children?
Switching gears a bit, let's talk about the present state of the rare coin market. One of the things we hear from dealers, and it really depends on what part of the food chain you're in, whether you sell commodity coins or high-end rarities, is that it's a mixed market for people. And I think with the Pogue sale, the Newman sale, the Gardner sale, Partrick, that there's been a lot of material. I mean, it's great material coming into the market. But what do you see in terms of the market today? Is this a great time to buy coins, an opportunity time? Or are the current prices realized for coins where we are now in the market, and we have to get used to these new levels as they are really indicative of where interest is now from collectors?
Well, you're certainly right. A lot of wonderful coins, a lot of big collections did come on the market in a two-year period of time. And I think that there was certainly nothing that drove that other than age. You really look at why those big collections came on the market. It was because all of those collectors were 75 to 105 years old, and they were doing estate planning. They wanted to see the collection sold during their lifetime. It was just a perfect confluence of events where a lot of coins came on the market, and there were opportunities there. There were some coins that sold for reasonable prices. There was coins that sold for such high prices nobody could understand it. But most of the coins sold for right in the, in the range that everyone kind of expected they would. Gene's collection, Gene told me when we were working together that he said anything over $40 million he'd be happy with. And it brought 52.8. He was ecstatic. He sent me, I have it framed in the office at Heritage in Dallas, the nicest letter I've ever gotten in my entire life from a client after Gene's auctions were over, about how happy he and his family were.
And that's not always the case. Even when you are successful, you don't always have a happy consigner.
Usually you do. Usually you do. The most frequent unhappy consigner is somebody who overpaid for something, and then when they didn't make money on it, they blamed you. Right. Usually when people make money, it's because of their buying acumen, and if they lose money, it's because it's somebody else's fault. Such wasn't the case with Gene. Gene was a brilliant, brilliant, world-renowned investor. He made money on most of his coins. He lost money on some of them that he bought more recently. He took it all in stride and knew that every stock he bought he didn't make money on. He lost money on some, but overall it was an incredibly rewarding personally and financially for him and his family.
So disabuse the naysayers of the notion that major collectors are getting older and that they are not being replaced by younger collectors.
Well, there certainly was a number of them that have gotten older, which is why there was hundreds of millions of dollars in coins sold in a 24-month period of time. But there were also people buying those coins. And the people who were buying those coins, some of the most active collectors now are, well, there's some of them that are in their 40s. And a lot of them are in their 50s and 60s, which is not, not that old, really. There's definitely another generation of collectors that have come along at the high level. Certainly there's collectors, that are children in their teens, 20s, 30s, with smaller budgets. But at the top end, there's a lot of people putting together very important collections who are, 45 to 65 years old.
Obviously Heritage has built for itself the largest mailing list of clients of any firm in the numismatic collectibles industry. What are you seeing, based on your data, in terms of collector behavior for the new collectors entering the market?
The new collectors that are entering the market at the high end are focusing on early coins and condition rarities, coins that would be considered trophies, I think. You're right. We do have on our membership in HA.com almost a million people, 950,000, I think, right at the last time I looked, 950,000 members in 186 countries, which is more than every coin company combined, and then by some multiple. But it's because we've been very focused on it. We've got the same ownership of the company, the same. Steve Ivey started the company in 1976. Jim Halpern came in 1982. I came in 1987. We've added partners along the way. We've added owners. The company's never been sold. We've never, had people leave that were owners. We're steady goes the course. We are at it every day, trying to build the business and make it better and service collectors and help them when they're collecting and help them when they decide to sell.
So the auction business has changed a lot since the 1980s. You have people who have memories of being at some of the big sales, the apostrophe sales, the John J. Pittman or Elias Burke sales, auctions that were more personal back then, that there was more emotion tied up in getting that once-in-a-lifetime coin. Lots of intrigue and bidding against each other. A lot of bidders and agents looking at each other when the paddles are being raised. The internet has changed all that, of course, and now even at the major sales, the Pogue or the Newman sales or your Platinum Night sales, for instance, I remember recording a video of the sale of the 1894S dime that Heritage Auction at the January Fun Show, and there you were on the phone with the winning bidder. Do you think that now is a better time to sell and buy coins, that with the internet, coin buying is as competitive as ever? Or do you think that the hobby has lost something in the transition from the old way to the new?
I think it's the best time currently. First of all, you've got certified grading, which leveled the playing field that wasn't level in the 1980s before certified grading came about. So you know exactly what you're bidding on. Now with the ability to bid online, you don't have to hire agents. You eliminate friction. You also can participate yourself. You can watch on HA Live and see that you're bidding against other people with real money. You know, because Heritage is transparent, that there's no hidden reserves. There's no quote-unquote chandelier bids. We disclose all reserves. We disclose all minimum bids. And you know that if you're bidding against somebody, it's somebody that has to pay for it just like you do. And I think that that has really helped give people a lot of confidence, whereas they probably didn't have that confidence in the 1980s and in the 90s before Heritage actually was the one that launched online bidding. Now, wherever you are in the world, you could be sitting in your hotel room, you could be sitting on your boat, flying in your plane, you could even be sitting in the auction room itself and wanting to remain anonymous and be bidding on your iPad. And so it has really eliminated friction, saved people time, and time's a big thing. You know, time is valuable. Time is money to lots of people. And you know, it used to be that you'd have to go to the auction physically before the advent of the internet, and it might be that you were interested in a half cent and you were interested in a $20 gold piece, and there was going to be 10 hours in between that you'd have to, you know, sit there and twiddle your thumbs. And now, you know, by being able to do it at home or from wherever you are, you don't have that worry of all that wasted time and expense to travel someplace.
So, Greg, do you have any big collections coming down the pike that collectors should know about as we enter the latter part of 2016?
Yeah, there's one collection that we're working on right now. It was assembled by a numismatist in the Midwest over decades. Nothing as far as value-wise like Newman or Gardner, but it's a nice $15 million collection, and the name on that collection is the 12 Oaks collection. It's all unreserved, and it's all being sold this year, and it is everything from major rarities to more common coins and everything in between. It's a wonderful, wonderful group of coins, and can be found on ha.com by going and looking under 12 Oaks. It's going to be the major auction, the first big sale. Is going to be at Long Beach in September.
Well, Greg Rohan, president of Heritage Auctions, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on Gene and the coin market. And I look forward to seeing you and your team at the ANA.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for the call.
If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. And remember, you can download all 38 episodes of the Coin Week podcast for free from the iTunes Store. For Coin Week, I'm Editor Charles Morgan, signing off. Happy collecting.